Right.
Like, if you're broke as hell, but you know, like, I'm going to get here. I'm going to get here. I'm going to get here. That feels a lot
you have
better.
Security in the path.
Exactly. That, I feel a lot. That feels a lot better than having everything that you thought you wanted, but no path to go on.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I got to do something else. Got to do something. Got to do something else. And I just, I bought the franchise. So I was like, I'm going to buy a business. And then 7 months later, I was signing papers.
Get to the money and slide. Get to the money and slide. Free all the bros inside. Free all the bros inside. Play with the bros, you die. Huh. Yeah. Get to the money and slide. Huh. Free all the bros inside. Huh. Play with the bros, you die. Huh. Yeah. If you want smoke, come get it. You on my chain, come get it. Taking the money, run with it. New to this shit, I done did it. Get to the money and slide. Get to the money and slide. Free all the bros inside. Free all the bros inside. Play with the bros, you die. Huh. Yeah.
You ready, Chan, bro?
Yes, sir. Let's get do it.
Hey, man. Say, man. It's the Got 15 podcast coming back, man. Volume 4. Part, who knows, man. We got a special guest to my left. Go ahead and shout yourself out, bro.
Hey, man. It's your boy Tommy Wright. Y'all can follow me on every platform at CEO.TWright. We got a good episode for y'all coming up.
Hey, man. Make sure y'all go show my man some love, bro. Y'all already know the vibes, man. He coming to show love on the pod. Y'all got to show love back to him. Hey, man. We can go ahead and just start off with, like you said, bro. Just tell people who you are, man, kind of what you do, and then I'll kind of go into, like, why I want you on the podcast, where I found you from, and we'll kind of just go from there.
My name is Tommy Wright, and I am a serial entrepreneur, so I'm mostly known for owning the Subway franchise, one of the youngest Subway franchisees on the planet, the youngest to buy his own store, and I actually just bought a store down the street from here. So,
right.
that's pretty much what I do now. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've had businesses well before Subway, but the big thing that I got going on right now is I own the Subway, and I'm popping all right on social media.
Right. So that's where I found you from, bro. I was just casual. I mean, we always preach that TikTok is a geo-focused
That's true.
TikTok, and that's how we preach to the, especially, you know, businesses that we're trying to promote with. Like, yo, yeah. I'm telling you, it's a geo-focused app. It's going to populate first to people around you and sure. then go wide.
For sure.
So that's why I'm like, so I'm watching your videos, bro. I said, I think there's like a tag on TikTok, bro, like where you can see like where this post is at or whatever, bro. He said, can I saw? I'm like, bro. Then you said, where was that? I said, nigga, I think I've been to this Subway before. Like, I think I eat here, like, regularly, bro.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, bro. Then I found you on Instagram, and I was seeing the content you was making. I'm like, yo, we got to have this thing on the show, bro. Because, bro, like, you know, I just graduated from KSU type shit. You know, Chan just graduated. We obviously running our own business now. I got my degree in entrepreneurship, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I want to do is continue to learn, you know, from people who are currently doing it and, like, you know, see kind of how, like, your journey through entrepreneurship and kind of what that looks like.
Oh, yeah.
So you said that you consider yourself a serial entrepreneur.
Correct.
Like, so why would you consider that? And, like, what are the other businesses that you've had before this?
All right. So before this, the first thing that I had was called an asset recovery firm, where basically I help people get money after they foreclose a house. I had a team of attorneys that worked for me. I didn't make my first dollar until 6 months in. And it was the only business that I started to make money straight out of college. So when I left school, that was the fourth month I started the business. 2 months later, I made my first dollar. And then when I made that 1,000 that month, it turned into 4,000. The next month, it turned into 8, and then 12, and then went up to like $40,000 a month. So I did that, but I failed at. I started a tarot business, failed at that. Like I tried to do hire a car, have a fleet of cars, and I failed at that shit. I lost thousands of dollars. And a lot of people don't focus on that; they just focus on, you know, the shit that you went on.
Yeah.
But I've learned so much throughout the process of that. I had a credit repair, business funding, helping entrepreneurs start and scale their businesses, like. I've done all that. It's just right now I'm focusing on buying and scaling and selling businesses. I just did doing it with a franchise first.
Okay, so this is your first business that you've bought?
Correct.
Not started?
Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, I feel like you ran through a lot of different types of businesses, real quickly. You know what I'm saying? I feel like anybody who's been in the entrepreneurship space online, particularly, like, you hear doing Turo, you hear, you know, underwriting and this and that. Like you hear the little buzzwords from, you know, for passive income and do this and do that. And bro, like, this is the real shit though. Like there is no passive income. There is no getting, like, the reason it's not passive, bro, because even if you end up finding a business that is passive, right? You don't have to be there. You had to spend 10 years of work to get that. To me, that's not passive.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not passive, bro. But, like, so let's talk about the Subway shit, bro. So walk me through the process of you even thinking about starting to acquire a Subway business. Like, did that come from off of a failed business, off of a successful business, or what?
And that's what I'm curious of, too, like, the idea of even thinking of going the Subway route. So I'm curious how you even
So, piggybacking off of what you said, where you said, like, we're all on social media and you hear everybody say all these claims, like, passive income, this, that, tour, all that good stuff. I wanted to be a part of something that wasn't a wave, and I wanted to be a part of something that a lot of people couldn't just get into and speak from.
Right.
So buying a franchise is a lot fucking harder than doing Airbnb. It's a lot harder than, you know, doing Turo.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be in a group of the minority. Like, I did not want to be, you know, around people that are my age that are all doing the same shit.
But that's why I respected it, bro.
Yeah.
Because when I seen it, I said, nah, he, because like I said, I'm like, at the current time, taking all the entrepreneurship classes, I'm learning about, you know, the different types of businesses, why you go into each type of business, or what the benefits, the pros and cons, and going all that shit, right? I'm like, yo, and then that's why I be seeing that's why I've always been able to see through all the bullshit on social media, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, I know you can't be doing that. It wouldn't be possible. Like,
right. Like
I mean, when I think when that DJ Envy scheme or scam, whatever, had came out, bro, and I found out like what the pitch was, bro. Mm. He's like, oh, nah, bro, you put in 50,000, bro, I'm turning into 250 in 6 months.
No.
I said, now, why? I said, if he's able to do that, why in the fuck is he telling you about it?
To do
it. To come do it.
Exactly.
He can flip one and then flip them all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then, you know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't make, like, that's the kind of shit that I feel like I'd be seeing.
Yeah.
So when I seen you actually breaking down the numbers, breaking down everything into that, that was super, super genuine, bro.
Yeah.
And I fuck with that, bro. I
appreciate
it. So like I said, so when you thought about, okay, buying a franchise, or you thought about trying to be off the way or whatever, What led you to Subway and Kansas?
So I mean, it was buying a business. So I was gonna buy a business regardless. Mm-hmm. That's what it was gonna be. But then I started to see a lot of like franchising stuff. So I was like, Whenever somebody says something about franchising or you think about it, you think about like, oh, you gotta be rich to have a franchise. Like you think people like Shaq.
Right.
You're like,
right,
oh, you got a franchise, sure. You got money.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, Every time I see somebody with a franchise, either somebody old or it was a celebrity or something.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody regular just has franchises, right? So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Because nobody in my family could fathom like me owning a franchise or anybody in our family owning a franchise. So I was like, you know what? Let me just do it just to prove that it can be done.
Yeah.
You put your mind to something, you can do it. So, and that's why I'm fully transparent with the numbers, because I'm like, hey, if there's another Tommy, because I couldn't, there was none of this information was out when I was looking.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so I'll be the guinea pig, quote unquote, and tell you, hey, this is what to expect. All the numbers that you see when you're buying it are bullshit. This is actually what's going to happen. So I'm trying to help the next Tommy, you know, doing the stuff that I'm posting about now.
And bro, so I graduated from KSU in accounting, and I've been working at, you know, accounting firm for about close 2 years now. So I work with a lot of business owners, and I know what's actually going on.
Yeah.
Cause you know, they send me the spreadsheets, they're sending me the numbers. And I watched one of your recent videos. I think it was your July numbers, and you broke down, like, you had a big number in revenue. And then you said labor and this cost and this extra cost, and this popped up, had to pay for this. And then, you know, your gross profit was a little bit, it was less than what you started off with, but people on social media will tell you the big number. Hey, I made 50K in a month. They won't tell you after this and this and this, I really only have $500 left.
50K
they
won't, a month, 50 in ad spend. Like, you know what I mean?
That's, yes.
Yeah, so I get that 100. That's why I'm fully, fully transparent. And that's why I don't care, because I know a lot of people are not, they're not transparent or genuine.
But see,
about
like, when I'm watching, I was like, bro, that's good numbers. Because, like I said, I'm coming from sales background, right? Like I said, you know, I know how much companies make, like how much companies' margins are depending on, like, what you're looking at. Like, jewelry's margin, like, we're working in jewelry, bro. We found out the margins are ridiculous.
Crazy.
You're talking hundreds of percentage.
Yeah, crazy.
Then you go to cars, I'm finding out, oh, the dealership only makes 4% on the car?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that's slim. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You gotta sell a fuck ton of cars, and you get to understand the business that goes behind it. Like I said, you know, that's always what I like to hear.
Yeah.
So like, I loved seeing how you broke it down, because like I said, that's something I've been considering as well. Like, you know, owning a franchise, starting a business, like kind of, you know, like I said, the pros and cons of each pathway.
Yeah.
So like, can you speak more? I don't know, like say, if you know how contractually with Tubway or anything like that, but like about like the startup costs and how that went, or the application process.
It depends. So I get, that's like the number one question I always answer like this. Like, if somebody, you can't ask somebody like, how much is a house,
right?
Like, how much is a house,
right?
Yeah, like, it's not really, it depends on the house. So it's the same thing with businesses. So like, you can buy a Subway franchise, you can buy one for 50K, or you can buy one, find one that's 200K, right? Mine personally was 220,000. It's a good location, low rents, all that good stuff, right? So that's how much it was to buy the store. Then you got like the transfer fee, which is 5 to 10,000, somewhere around there. And then after that, it's whatever BS the previous owner didn't fix that you got to come in and fix.
Yeah. Right.
That, it's money to transfer everything on accounts payable that maybe he didn't pay. It's a lot of other shit.
Yeah.
That goes into it. So just add another like $5,000 on top of that. Yeah. And then that's pretty much how much they cost. It just all depends though.
And I'm assuming that's, you know, based on location, size, yeah, and you know, yeah, things like, and like you said, the things you got to fix and clean up.
Yeah.
I can imagine, you know, attorney fees or whatever necessary to make that actually happen. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good that you're bringing that up. Cause I mean, most people like us wouldn't even know that's an option for them.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't even think I could own that building when they walk around. They just continue being a customer all the time.
You know what? I'm real shit though. You know who put me on to that shit early, bro?
What?
Craig, bro.
Mm.
Craig was our old head coach, right, in high school, right? He wasn't the greatest football coach, but he was a good, genuine person, right?
Right.
He would always talk about how he wanted to own a Chick-fil-A. That's all he wanted to do was own a Chick-fil-A, own a Chick-fil-A, own a Chick-fil-A. And, like, he ran our team like a Chick-fil-A. Like, in a sense, that's good and bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we had good values and, like, we, you know what I'm saying?
Core systems.
Right. Right. One mission.
But, right. We bled. What was it?
We
bleed
bled.
Maroon.
Bleed
maroon. It was.
It's bigger than us. Like,
we're getting our ass whooped.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're getting our ass whooped, though, but we was
together.
We were a team.
Kumbaya together.
We lost together every time. Yeah.
So, like, when he really wanted to do this. And he would talk about the steps into, right?
Yeah.
But I know, like, owning Chick-fil-A is, like, one of the harder processes is what I heard as
hell
far
yeah.
as one of the, like, you know, franchises. Like, they're like, it's an application process.
Yeah,
you gotta have
page,
you gotta have so much, you know, so much money in the bank before you even
hell
sign
yeah.
up. You gotta work at a Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Like, they not bullshitting with
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So that's why I was curious as far as like the application process. Was it like for example, right, if you run in like a application for a loan, you know, they're gonna do background check, or not background check, but, you know, bank statements and W-2s, that kind of stuff. So did they dig around? Like, how does that, like, the background checks?
That's
kind of
separate from Subway. So mm-hmm. like
you're financing it through, like, what, like SBA
separate,
or something
whatever,
like that.
Whatever. So it's like the way that I did it was creative mm-hmm. finance. So I told you I did like business credit before. So
okay.
like mm-hmm. I got almost $1 million of business credit. So I use 0% interest credit cards, liquidated them things, and then I would use that money to go do whatever I needed to do with it. 0% mm-hmm. interest for a whole year.
Right.
And mm-hmm. once the interest runs out, I just get another card, balance transfer, keep mm-hmm. it pushing, so I don't pay interest. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I found out while buying it is that you can, a lot of these businesses got like EIDL loans during
mm-hmm.
COVID,
mm-hmm.
and those are highly assumable. So like they'll ask for your financials, but if it's a business that's profitable, they're not gonna trip.
Because it's already profitable.
Exactly.
Right.
So those are highly assumable. So like part of my deal also was I took one of those, which took down my seller price again. I didn't use any of my money out of pocket.
Mm.
So I just creatively financed everything. Mm. Yeah. It's a way to get it done. You just gotta learn it all. Yeah, it's a way to get everything done.
And bro, and knowledge is power, bro. Cause if you don't even know the steps, then you can't get involved.
Yeah. 100%.
You can't get involved.
So what was your degree in?
I didn't finish. So it was in finance. So I left after my second year. I gave him the scholarship back. I was on full scholarship. I was there, the number one recruit in history at the time that I was there.
Mm.
And I gave him the scholarship back. I was going to be the starting coordinator that year and everything.
Just to do the business?
Yeah.
So like I said, so what gave you the confidence to say, okay, my whole entire life I've been playing football. I'm the best nigga to ever come out of where I came out of. I'm the best guy here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go do something that I've never done before and nobody that I know has done before.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was like, while I was there, I was starting to get, like, unhappy. And the reason I was getting unhappy is because I started to realize, like, the only reason I'm here is because I feel like the end goal that I want can only be accomplished by me catching or throwing the football.
Right.
That's what I thought it was. And then when I started to, like, actually learn and realize I can do other things, I was like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I'm good on the football. So, that the passion just went away, bro. And I was just like, you know what? There's never been anything in life that I said I wanted to do, and Tommy Wright didn't do it. Swear to God, nothing. Like, when I said I was going to buy my first car at 16, all cash, went and did it. When I said I was going to do X, Y, and Z for my mom, I was going to buy my second car before I even left high school, went and did it. Like, I've done everything that I said I was going to do, and all those little wins and success gave me confidence. So anything that I feel like I want to do, I can go do.
Right.
So I don't like sit in fear and be like I don't move. Like, I'm not like that. I go 100%.
I respect that, bro. So quickly before we get out of here, bro. So the first business you said, It was an asset recovery. So how did you go about, you know, starting an asset recovery? What made you start that? And then kind of tell me about some pitfalls of that, like worst experiences.
Yeah, so I was still in school when I started. I still got a picture of it. And I bought a desk and everything. I had my own dorm, all that good stuff. And I was in there and I bought a course. The course was $2,000. I had $1,000 in my bank account. because I lost $7,000 3 days before trying to play with stocks.
Oh, love that. Options. You love that option, bro.
I thought I sold, went to practice, came back out, gone. No. So, swear to God. So, I lost $7,000.
Thought you sold is tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't refresh because when you walk in, it automatically connects to the Wi-Fi, which sucked over there.
Right. So
there was no connection.
Disconnected it.
Yeah, it was bad. So I did that, and then I like really sat down. That's where I had to learn how to cold call, learn how to like nurture leads and all this kind of stuff. So I learned how to sell, bro. So sell the cold fucking frozen leads.
Oh, brother, that shit tough.
Yeah,
bro.
That's why I learned. Like I said, I didn't make my first dollar until 6 months in, and that was after I left school. So like the whole time I was in school, I'm just building, and figuring out how the business works with like cold calling and then getting a CRM system and then figuring out how to follow up, you know, how to not make people ghost me, like that type of stuff. And then when that stuff like started to click on like month six where I actually started getting checks and stuff, it was just.
So when you say asset recovery, what do you mean by that?
So basically, okay, so here's the model. So like somebody is getting foreclosed on, right? So I'm the middle guy. So somebody is getting foreclosed on. I'm the middle guy that says, hey, there's money here after the foreclosure. Mm-hmm. So if they owe $100,000 on the house, the foreclosure sale, let's say they sell it for $200,000. Mm-hmm. There's an extra $100,000 that's supposed to go back to them. Mm-hmm. They had $100 left on the loan, it sold for $200,000. That extra $100 needs to go back to them.
Right.
I'm the middle guy to say, hey, you got money over here.
Right.
I then have a team of attorneys that handles all the legalities of everything to get the check back to the client. Okay. So I'm the middle guy. I put the middle guys make all the money.
Of course, everything.
So it was the client, attorney, me in the middle. Attorney got a smaller cut of what I made. And I walked away without having to do any anything that required me to have a bar license.
right.
So that's pretty much what.
So when you say that, okay. So let's say they. So how would they? So basically, you're just informing them that hey, you do. Your job is to find the lease. Mm-hmm. Hey, your house just got foreclosed on.
Yep.
There's money available that you're missing out on.
It's sold for this much, and you have this much money available. We have a team of attorneys that handles this. Do you want to go ahead and get started with that process, or do you just prefer to do it by yourself?
Right.
And then, you know, then I go into my whole thing.
Right. Process. If you pitch, right, sure. Okay. Yeah. So past that, then where did you, how and where did you start to find, you know, your team of attorneys that you can trust and that were.
I called them. So my attorney that I've been with the longest, love her to death. I went up to her office. So I called her, got an appointment, went up to her office. I'm suited up. And then we're talking about it. She didn't even know about this, like, particular industry. So I broke it down to her and I was like, hey, we can do this just to protect yourself, blah, blah, blah. And me and her have collected well over $1 million. And like I said, love her to death. I still get checks from her. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah. I still get checks from her. So I called and then I would go in if I could. If you meet me and I can talk to you, I got you.
Right.
I got you. There's nobody that just doesn't like me. I got you. So that's how we got that relationship going and that's how everything was just gravy from there.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's dope, bro. So why you stop that? If it's just hidden, why
so
stop?
I kid you not. So I'm making $40,000 a month, and that business took me probably 15 hours a month to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was bored as fuck. I was bored. I was unfulfilled. Like, money solves a lot of problems. Don't get me wrong. But like when you're unfulfilled and you feel like you're just standing, you're collecting money, but you don't have a path of where you actually want to go in life. That's just a lot scarier than being broke with a path.
Right.
Like if you're broke as hell, but you know, like I'm gonna get here. That feels a lot better.
You have security in the path.
Exactly. That feels a lot better than having everything that you thought you wanted, but no path to go on.
Right.
So I was like, you know what, I gotta do something else. Gotta do something else. And I bought the franchise. So I was like, I'm gonna buy a business, and then 7 months later, I was signing papers to close.
So did you sell that your previous business, or you just kind of
dissolved it? It's not a sellable business.
But I mean, you don't think you can sell the systems that you've created?
Not really. Hmm. It's not proprietary, so it's like without digging so deep, we'd be here for like an hour.
It's not
proprietary. Like even the systems aren't proprietary. The most that I could do with that is probably like sell a course or something, which I don't even do. Like I have a community with entrepreneurs, and I just give them the game of how I started and everything for how much they pay to be in the community. I don't do like the whole course thing, honestly, because I think I got too much to learn. But I do have a community where I have, you know, everything that I've learned. Maybe it'll help somebody else.
Yeah. Hey man, look, bro. I feel like this is a great episode, man. Like, look, this is a good episode if you really know, bro.
Yeah.
If you tapped into the game, bro. If you really came here to put some game today, man. You already know, Got 15 dropped some gems every now and then when it comes to the game, bro. Especially when it comes to content, business, money, all of that shit, bro. Make sure y'all tap in, my man here, bro. He really just showed y'all some love. Make sure y'all show him some love too, man. With that being said, man, it's been the Got 15 podcast. We out, man. Peace. Brr.
Get to the money and slide. Get to the money and slide.
Appreciate y'all popping out to the podcast, man. Make sure y'all leave a like. Go ahead and comment something. And hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, so you don't miss any of our videos.
And make sure you subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive behind-the-scenes videos posted weekly. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TikTok, and I already know we're on YouTube, man. Go check us out everywhere.
Show. Brr.